Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and thank you for joining us this afternoon. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, and my...
And also with Curly the dog.
And also Curly.
We're going to try a new co-host. It may be that I'm going to be replaced by Curly here in the near future. Melody hasn't made up her mind. She says I'm still in the running, but it may be Curly's going to be taking my place, so...
Curly has been coming to the office with me every day for as long as she's been alive. So, you know, she's just part of the fixture here at Discount Gold and Silver. So she gets to say her piece every now and then. But thank you for joining us this afternoon. It is, I don't even know what day it is today. It's
This is Thursday. It's the 21st day of March, year of our Lord, 2012.
Fantastic. Thank you. And hectic day today with everything going on. People are out there preserving their wealth, preserving those dollars that could very well, very easily be taken away. Gold up a little bit, up $8 at $1,616. That's $1,616. Silver is up 40 cents today at $29.32. Platinum was up $5 today at $1,584. Palladium up $4 at $786. It's like the world is on hold. Even markets today, they did their moves this morning and they just stayed there. It's like nobody traded. It's just like things just stayed. They barely budged. And so I find that very fascinating. You have crude oil down a dollar today at $92.45 with the USDX today down 0.06 at $82.79. And the markets today... Oh, let's see what the Dow did. Let's see. The Dow was down 90 points today at 14,421. That fluctuated it a little bit today. And yeah, the NASDAQ down 31 points at 3,222. S&P down 12 at 1545, I should say. The euro still at 129, which surprises me. We haven't seen a little more weakness there. And the 10-year yield... 193. So again, markets are strange considering what's going on in Cyprus. We'll be talking about that a little bit more in the program. But first, today is Thursday. We have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs, thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. How you doing?
Just fine. Thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure. Hi, Al.
Hi, Wendy. I'm used to saying hi, Melody.
Hi there.
Hi, Wendy.
I answer pretty much to anything, so go ahead.
Yeah, I'm the same way, pretty much the same way. I've got an article here in the New York Times on health. It says, wary of attack with smallpox.
All right.
U.S. buys up a costly drug. United States government is buying up enough of a new smallpox medicine to treat 2 million people in the event of a bioterrorism attack, and took delivery of the first shipment of it last week, but the purchase set off a debate about the lucrative contract, with some experts saying the government is buying too much of the drug at too high a price. Should we be concerned about smallpox?
Well, smallpox has been eradicated.
Quite.
Well, I mean, the...
That's one of the interesting questions. It was extraordinary...
We were told that the only remaining live strain of smallpox was locked up tighter than a drum at the CDC.
And, I think there were two cases. I think one foreign. I think Russia may have one also, but they couldn't. They just couldn't bear to get rid of it all.
I know. So if we've eradicated it, you know, for over 25 years, okay, or longer actually. I think from like 1980, 1979, they said smallpox is done. There haven't been any cases for a while. So you got to ask yourself the question, okay, so if we haven't had any cases and the only living virus is, you know, under tight security, why are they worried?
That's exactly right. And if there is a credible threat, where could the threat have come from other than, again, the United States CDC, and I think Russia also kept a stock of smallpox. So there are two sources, and if the terrorists have some, who'd they get them from?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's the question. The next question, I guess, is, do you think it's a legitimate threat? Is there anything that we can do to protect ourselves, assuming it's a legitimate threat? Is there anything that we can do to protect ourselves?
There's a lot you could do. Right now, you know, there a lot of these strains are resistant to the medications, especially bacterial. Now the drug companies are working on viral medicines. That's why they've dropped the ball making any new antibacterial antibiotics. But, you know, these strains are not resistant to your natural immune system. The macrophages, the antibodies that your body's able to create to detoxify your system to eradicate the infection. So I look at it as if I'm going to tap into what God gave me, and I'm going to beef up the immune system, and there's a way that you can do that. You don't have to overstimulate the immune system. You can make it stronger, and the way you do that is, you know, you allow yourself to get over the common cold once in a while without taking over-the-counter stuff. You know, you allow the immune system muscle to exercise and become strong. Allow the tissues and your organs to, you know, naturally defend from these pathogens. That's how you have a non-corrupted immune system. But if you're going to take antidepressants, you're going to take, you know, suppressant drugs, cough suppressant drugs, antibiotics, you know, you got an immune system that really doesn't know what it's supposed to do. So when
sounds
you
like an immune system that's been it's been raised on welfare.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting analogy, but it's no longer capable.
Right.
It loses its capacity to work. Let's give it some welfare. Let's give it another bottle of this stuff and it'll suppress the symptoms.
The next thing you know, it's like those New York high school graduates graduating, don't know how to read them right, you know?
I understand. Just extraordinary. 80%.
I know. And so, you know, it's the same all over. I think it's probably just a little bit more concentrated in New York, but you know, the same thing down here. You got babysitters, you don't have teachers. But getting back to
not even babysitters.
Well,
I knew a teacher back. I knew a guy who was a teacher back in his name was Dick Evans, and he was a teacher back in the 1960s in Chicago. And back then, he referred to the schools as nothing but detention camps, and he saw himself as nothing but a detention officer. And it really, that's not irrational and not unreasonable. I mean, they have become a kind of, I don't know, a junior prison. All right, we'll send the kids over there so they can't rob us when we're not at home. Or, you know, if you got a job, you're not at home during the day, we're going to keep the kids locked up in the school so they can't come rob us till after we get home from work. But it's an it's an exaggeration. Go ahead.
Well, you're not too far off, Al, because, you know, the schools that they build here, I don't really understand their thinking about building schools here because, you know, I went to school up north. And, you know, the schools up north had several floors. They went up with them because real estate was, primo. So, but here what they do is they buy a lot of land and they build these one-floor schools. They're way spread out, but they have them all lined up and looking like you said, you know, like juvenile detention centers.
I understand.
And they have, it's just an amazing thing. So I had some... you know, people visiting, and they asked me what that was going in. They were constructing a. I had a Freudian slip. I said, "Oh, that's the new prison." I said, "Mean elementary school." And they go, "Which is it?" I said, "Well, both."
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it's bad. It's bad. Homeschool your kids if you have any out there, because they'll learn a whole lot more. But getting back to your immune system question, you know, it's not just, you know, the smallpox we have to worry about, to be honest. There's a bunch of drugs that people take on a regular basis that mess up their liver and their bone marrow. Two very important things, because your bone marrow is responsible for producing healthy blood, which is your life source, and it's designed to carry nutrition and oxygen through the body. And then your liver is your primary organ that detoxifies and neutralizes toxins that could kill and poison you. So if people are on these drugs on a regular basis, I have a list of these drugs that mess up your liver and your bone marrow. Drugs for gout, kidney stones, cancer, anti-inflammatory drugs, so that includes your non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, birth control pills, diabetic medicine, psychosis drugs, cortisone, male hormone drugs, anti-hypertensive drugs, the kind that relax blood vessels, narcotic pain medication, beta blockers for high blood pressure, anti-anxiety drugs and tranquilizers, tricyclic antidepressants, antibiotics that contain erythromycin, and STD medications. So you can see we got a lot of things to worry about.
Yeah, you have to wonder if the cure is worse in some instances than the disease.
Absolutely. And then the universal vaccines in the news, too. You probably saw that.
No, I haven't.
Oh, well, this is in the works. It's called the universal vaccine. You know, usually your flu vaccine will have anywhere from 2 to 4 pathogens in it. And so they're kind of guessing a year ahead what kind of flu pathogens they need to combat so they can make the flu vaccine. So now they want to come out with a universal flu vaccine that will kill all viruses by attacking the protein outer layer of the virus and destroy it, so it doesn't matter what virus it is. And you don't need to take this vaccine, they say, every year. You could take it like every other year or every 3 years. And the problem is, though, according to John Schrader from the University of British Columbia, he's an immunologist. He says, you know, it could be possible to generate a broadly neutralizing antibody in a universal vaccine. However, he says, if it's done correctly, because somewhere along the line, this new vaccine is going to force the immune system to do certain things it's not supposed to do. So there's all kinds of things that can go wrong with that.
But will they go wrong when you take it, or will they go wrong 3-5 years later?
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing they haven't.
I mean, will your check have cleared the bank before something goes wrong? I guess that's the main question.
Well, you know, and they're going to test it. Human trials are coming up, and who do you suppose they're going to use for that? I don't see too many people volunteering, but they don't have to worry about that, Al. They could just go to the hospitals and nursing homes where now it's required to be immunized to keep your job. So they got lots of test groups to use.
I saw recently, I didn't read the entire article, but just in this last week, plans for medical experiments to be performed on babies relative to vaccines, if I recall correctly.
Oh, yeah, that was the anthrax question.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It was anthrax.
They have a tentative go-ahead to they still have to prove some things before they actually launch a test group on babies, but they have a tentative, okay, let's open this up for exploration and see about testing anthrax on infants. But they have to still prove if the test and the risk giving infants anthrax outweighs everything else. In other words, if it produces a very low protection or almost nil benefit, then they're going to say no. So we'll see what the next phase development is on that.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Are they, if this procedure goes through and they say, all right, we're going to test babies, is this something where they can test whatever babies they want? Do the parents have to, are parents consulted and asked, will you give your permission? What happens in terms of the baby's rights?
Well, that's why Texas legislator, I think it's Senate Bill 61, they're pushing through a bill that gets rid of that parental permission problem. That's a little pesky little roadblock for the government and these scientists. So that's what they're pushing to do. So you'll probably see more of that in the other states, and then they don't have a problem, see?
You know, we have animal advocates, animal rights advocates, who do what they can to stop medical experimentation on rabbits and monkeys and chimpanzees and whatever. Is anyone working to protect babies? Do babies of men and women who are children have rights at least comparable to the animal rights, or is that is it cheaper to experiment on human babies than it is on rabbits? That's what I'm trying to get to.
Well, there's been some.
That's a little bit of a facetious question.
Oh, I know. But there's been some immunologists that have said, you know, we can make vaccines out of plants. We don't have to use animals or bug parts or baby embryos or any of that stuff. We could make just an effective vaccine, they feel, from vegetation. I think all vaccines are a nightmare, to be honest, because it just violates all the protective measures of a natural immune system. See, when the pathogen is in the blood, the immune system, all the checkpoints have been skipped when you normally get infected with something. So by the time the pathogen's in the bloodstream, the immune system, when it notices it, says, oh, well, it's supposed to be here because I didn't get the memo, you know? And so it doesn't create an antibody for it. And that's why when they test blood and you don't have an antibody to, let's say, tetanus, that's why they give booster shots.
It indicates that you've never had a tetanus shot before?
Well,
or that
it means there's no immune system protection. There's nothing. It's a big hoax.
Okay.
That's what I mean.
I see what you're saying. Then it becomes a good business model. It becomes a good business model, if I'm understanding correctly. You sell a vaccine, but it doesn't produce evidence that it works, so you got to sell a booster at a later date.
Right.
I see what you're saying. I don't know. You know, it becomes insane at times. It's not about healing people, and that's the big problem. I don't mind what the drug companies earn. I don't mind what products they make. But are you aware of any product that any major drug company has manufactured in, say, the last 20 years that's intended to solve a problem rather than merely treat symptoms?
No, because that's not their goal to keep you well. It's disease management. It's more lucrative. See,
yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. It's all a racket, in my opinion. But people have choices, and they could go out there and they can tap into a lot of the herbs that are powerful. You know, the Bible says herbs are meat, according to the Lord. That means they're strong. So you could tap into a lot of that power. And also, Psalms 91 is a good prayer of protection from all pestilence, folks. So hit the Bible, hit your knees, seek the Lord's face, because there's nobody that can protect you better than the Lord.
And when people want to get hold of you, Wendy, where can they locate you, your website, and your 800 number, and how can they order, and so on and so forth?
Well, absolutely. They could call us toll-free at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. The website is thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. And also, I encourage them, if they want to get more informed, we have a lot of these little headlines that we talk about, like we just did, Al, in the newsletter. So if they miss a radio show, they can always get the newsletter that's free, the American Survival Newsletter. Melanie and yourself, that you're in there, so they can get lots of information that way too.
All right, Wendy, thanks very much. It's always good having you here on Thursdays. We look forward to talking to you again next Thursday.
Okay.
In the meantime, we'll have a good week.
You
All
too.
Right,
bye-bye.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Folks, I'm Alfred Adusk. Melody will and I will be back in just a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adusk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver needs. This is our moment of truth, and we're going to find out if Melody has a new special, or are you going to do the same special you did yesterday? That sounded pretty good, about 1850, if I remember correctly. What do we got?
Should I do yesterday's special again at yesterday's prices?
Will it save a sheet of paper?
Yes, it will.
Well, then let's do it. This is part of the green movement.
Save a tree.
Exactly.
A tree. And we don't have any trees in this gold and silver package. We've got 5 of the 1/10 ounce gold eagle coins, modern issue coins, 1/10 ounce. So you'll receive 1/2 ounce total in gold, and you will receive $40 face value of 90% silver. That's $40 face value quarters and dimes of 90% silver. It includes your shipping cost at $1,815. Yesterday's prices, gold is up 8, silver's 36 cents. So it's a good day to be buying some gold and silver. 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And visit our website, folks, at discount. Now that's the old one, dgscoins.com. Although you can still get to it from the old website, a lot less typing. D for discount, G for gold, S for silver coins at .com.
All right, Melody, what's next?
What's next? We had a great first 20 minutes with Wendy. And any updates on Cyprus? I think we should get that talked about, as that seems to be the topic of the day. Talked about lots of that today, and things just keep getting more and more interesting.
They get more and more interesting. They get more and more confused. I'm not sure what they're going to do. It's a little bit like they've been caught with their hand in the cookie jar, and they can't deny that they had their hand in the cookie jar. But they're going to kind of say, well, we didn't actually take any cookies. That's where they are right now. It's as long as like robbing a bank. If you get caught in the act and you don't actually have any money with you, they're just saying, well, why don't you just let us go and we'll just walk out the door and we'll leave. They're trying to rob the banks. They got caught in the lobby, and now they would like to leave without being further punished. I'm not sure what's going to happen, and I don't think anyone is. It's turned into an explosive, scandalous situation. It's raised important insights into the nature of banking. It implies, raised the question, who owns the money in those bank accounts? And who is really able? You know, you get FDIC insurance on your accounts, your bank accounts. And they insure you against loss if the bank fails. If it's mismanaged or whatever, your account is insured. You can have confidence. And they have similar, they've got similar things in Europe. Now, the question is, yeah, we're insured against bank mismanagement. Okay. But what about government mismanagement? Do we have any insurance against government mismanagement for our bank accounts? And the answer is probably not. If the government thinks it really needs the money, it's going to just dig in and help itself. That's one of the implications of the problem we've seen in Cyprus over the last week. And it's people are beginning to develop a kind of awareness. And it's part of the reason why we tell people, you know, you need to buy some gold. If you have money that's sitting in a bank account, you can look around and see that it is not insured against government mismanagement. On the other hand, a stack of gold coins that you have in your closet, in your safe, buried in the backyard, that becomes a kind of insurance against government mismanagement. It's the sort of thing where you can protect yourself, right? There's never a perfect solution, but there are absolutely better solutions and worse solutions. And one of the most risky right now is keep your money in a bank account. I'm not suggesting bank accounts are going to collapse or they're going to all disappear in the next 6 days or 6 weeks or 6 months. But I'm just saying, look, on average, this is like driving drunk, right? A lot of people do it. You can drive drunk and probably get away with it most of the time, just as you can have a bank account and probably get away with it most of the time. But if there's a crash, you're going to have some very, very serious problems, and you are going to wish that you had paid attention when people were telling you, go buy some gold, buy some silver, get something to protect yourself, not just against bank mismanagement. But gold and silver are what protect you against government mismanagement. And God knows we have enormous mismanagement at the level of our federal government. That's how our debt is so great. So, what else have we got, Melody?
Well, you know, it says I do believe that this is going to play out. I don't think this is a situation where they're going to be able to put underneath the rug. I mean, even if you take a remember the LIBOR rate scandal, to me, I thought that was huge. I mean, here you have something where they manipulated the rates.
Yep.
Over a period. I mean, this is huge. It affected governments, state governments, local governments all around the world. To me, that is a bigger crime. I mean, I didn't think they would be able to put that under the rug. A few people got their hands slapped. You know, a couple $1 billion fines were paid, blah, blah, blah. It's another new day. This, I don't think they're going to be able to do that because this involves people. And I think you're going to see people reacting. I saw where there were demonstrations beginning in Cyprus. And just wait till this weekend. The longer that they drag this out, I think they're dragging it out thinking that'll reverse the people. It'll calm them down. But mm-hmm. I don't think so.
I think
this is going to play out. And I don't think that end picture is going to be good for anyone.
They think they've been spreading oil on the water by keeping the bank closed. I think the original reports is they intended to close the Cyprus banks until today,
mm-hmm.
Thursday. The last I heard, they had extended that out until Tuesday of next week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if that's still true. I think these things are changing. Who knows? But that's the best of my knowledge. And they think they're spreading oil on the water. I think maybe they're spreading gasoline on the water, if you catch my drift.
Yes.
One little spark and just keep the banks shut. Oh, they're out till Tuesday. Give them another week on. What the heck? Give them a month. Watch and see how far can you go before the gasoline on the water goes boom and everybody gets their eyebrows singed. You're not going to get a haircut. You're going to get a hair singeing. Yeah? There's a difference. So,
but
we'll watch.
Yeah.
We'll watch and we'll see what's going to happen on it. But what can they do? They're playing for time in a sense, but what can they do? You know, they can't deny what they've done. They can't easily deny the implications. If they say what they did was wrong and criminal and could never happen again because this is the law, I don't think they want to make that admission. But if they don't make the admission, somewhere along the line, somebody's got to be charged criminally. You know, is this a criminal? Is there a crime here? No one's actually lost any money, so I suppose the answer is no. There is no crime as yet. There was perhaps criminal intent, unless it's the law for Cyprus and maybe the world that the bank or that the government can help itself to your, what you people think of as your money in your accounts. They can help themselves virtually anytime they want. And they can shut the bank down where you can't get to the ATMs. You won't hear about them coming to take your money until they've already shut your account down on Saturday and you can't get in anymore. And they say, oh, we're going to take 6%, 10%, whatever. And the big thing, one of the big things, is they initially intended to take 40% of what the banks held. You know, you can suffer a 6, 7, 10% loss in your bank account. It will make you mad. But odds are it's not going to hurt you that bad. It'll be an inconvenience. It won't be destructive. 40% will put you out of business. 10% you may be able to survive that with a lot of annoyance, but not too much real trouble. But 40%?
Well, let me ask you a question. I mean, you have a lot of foreign money in these accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. When you're looking at 40%, is that an act of war? I mean, does war come about? If you look at Russia and the amount of euros that they're holding, they could very easily dump the euros and Europe is, you know, Eurozone is screwed, just like the U.S. They hold how many U.S. dollars? All they have to do is dump them and, you know, we're toast.
Well, one thing about it, who's getting hurt by this war? I know that it'll trickle down and it will get the ordinary people. But some of the people, the real targets in this war, if there is one, are the super rich. This is war breaking out where the super rich are invulnerable. We're not just marching the sons and daughters of poor people off to war. we're putting the super rich in jeopardy. Now, that's interesting to me because I'm trying to think of the last time that happened. And I don't think I can think of it. But I'm not sure that it's ever happened before. This is a kind of, and it's not a shooting war. And maybe it wouldn't even go to a shooting war. Maybe it just involves more inflation, or you seize the super rich, the money of the super rich in Cyprus, and Russia will seize the money of the super rich someplace else. But it is evidence to me, again, of this concept of when thieves fall out. The problems have now reached a point where the predators at the top of the food chain in the world are beginning to chew on each other's ankles. They know they've got money. No point, you can't rob the poor. Once you impoverish the great unwashed, who's left to rob except your fellow elitists? So...
Well, you know how we talk about how the middle class has been, you know, basically destroyed, and you know they're intent on that destruction of that class. And I recently saw some commentary where, you know, the billionaires, the wealthy, have risen, and now you have right below that, just you have very rich and you have rich. So are the very rich trying to eliminate and to obtain some of that rich wealth?
Oh, I think the reality is they will take money. This is the nature of the people that get to the top. In my opinion, they tend to be psychopathic. Yeah. In my opinion, they are gangsters in their hearts, but they're not dumb gangsters. I mean, the government can catch idiots all day. But when you go after the super rich, they can be as criminal as they want, and you are just about impossible to jail a billionaire. All right, just about isn't going to happen. They work together insofar as there's plenty of natural prey. That is to say, the middle class and even the lower classes that can be robbed one way or another. But once, it's like a pack of wolves. What happens to a pack of wolves once they run out of rabbits and deer? How long before the wolves start looking at each other and starting to think about, you know, I think we better get Wei over there, and we're going to have him for dinner tonight. Maybe the gray wolf is next, or maybe the black wolf, but they start looking around. I'll bet they, and that's what I think may be happening right now. We're seeing it. We're seeing a hint that that might be true. We've got a caller, Rob from Missouri. Shall we take that, Melody?
Yes, we should.
Let's do it. Rob, are you there?
Yeah, hey, Al. Melody, is Rob in Mississippi.
Mississippi, sorry, got to get my glasses fixed. I'm leaning back away from the screen, and I could make out the M, and I thought, ah, it's Missouri. No, it's Mississippi.
Yeah, well, we're all getting up there. Hey, Al, I really appreciate your newsletter you and Melody send out. It's great. I really enjoy reading it. And some of the
Thanks,
statements
Rob.
You made kind of reminds me of Atlas Shrugged.
Yeah, I understand. For what it's worth, Ayn Rand, especially The Fountainhead, more so than Atlas Shrugged for me. That was like my Bible back in the day, you know, when I was a kid, probably from age 16 to 22, something like that. That's a long time ago now, but nevertheless, back then that was kind of my Bible, so it's part of my thinking. I think if Ayn Rand had found a way to weave her philosophy into religion. That was the only thing that ultimately ever disturbed me. It was an atheistic philosophy. She didn't recognize God. She had no basis for religion in that. And for me, that was the great philosophical and spiritual flaw in her work. But other than that, she did some inspiring. All right. If there was a way to somehow weld religion into I would still be, you know, an acolyte for Ayn Rand probably, but without the faith in God, that just didn't ring my bell. Are you a fan of Ayn Rand's work?
Yes, big time. And I'm impressed you pronounced her first name correctly also. And it's timeless, her work is also.
I understand.
Hey, Al, I wanted to ask you, when I'm a believer things are going to collapse, so we're going to have a severe dollar devaluation or total collapse of our monetary system. When we go and use our junk silver as barter, and we happen to be able to find out the price of silver, what's the simple math on the equation for using that, finding a dollar amount for a dollar amount?
I don't know that I can answer that question. It's 90% silver. I assume it means that the coin is 90% silver. If you had face value of a dollar, you had four quarters, and face value of the four quarters is $1, it means to me that we have 9/10 of an ounce of silver in those four quarters. Am I correct on that, Melody, or am I mistaken?
Well, each item has an amount of silver, and all you have to do is take the amount of silver in that item and multiply it by the spot price. It's not that... And it takes about it for every face value, for every dollar face value of 90%, you're getting about, it takes about $1.40 to get an ounce of silver.
All right. Okay. It takes about $1.40.
That's a fairly good estimate. And I encourage everyone to pick up a Red Book, United States Coins Red Book by R.S. Yeoman. And it has the breakdown on all the coins, all the U.S. coins, and it breaks down the amounts that are in the dimes, quarters, and 50-cent pieces, and even the Morgan silver dollars. So it's a good book. It's a good book to have. And just as an example, in an uncirculated, like if you go back into the Mercury dimes, it has like 0.072-something. Off the top of my head, I can't just rattle off the full little numbers, but it's like 0.07. So you can just, that's the amount of silver in the Mercury uncirculated, but most of the coinages are circulated, so you have to take that into consideration. But
you know what else we have to take into consideration? Rob, you're going to have to hold on for a minute because we have to take some commercials into consideration because we haven't been watching the clock. Well, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. For your gold and silver coin needs, we're talking to Rob from Mississippi. And Rob was asking about the formula for 90% junk silver and how do you calculate what is how much silver is there and whatever. And I told him essentially, I wasn't sure about it. I've never been clear on it. And Melody was explaining it to me during the break, a little more, where I get it a little more clearly than I have in the past. And what she explained to me, you want to go through it, Melody?
Yeah, it's very simple.
Stop. You can't just be tapping away at your little calculator there, Melody.
No, I was just...
I can hear you. Taffity, taffity, taff. Come on.
The 90% is actually the total composition of the coin. It's not because the coins are not pure silver. So in a dollar, you don't have a full 1 ounce of silver. You have other items, other alloys in there. So each item does have a certain amount of pure silver in the coin. And just like your dimes, you have 0.072. Your quarters is 0.18. 50 cent pieces are 0.36 and your dollars are 0.77. And there's numbers after that, but that's.
So the 90% is a generic term in a sense. What you're saying, okay, here's the point then. It's 90% of the coin is silver. But when you get a quarter, you don't get a coin that's a quarter of an ounce.
Right.
There. 90% of the weight of the coin is silver, but the weight of the coin may be, I don't know, instead of 0.25, let's take a guess and say it was a fifth of an ounce. That's the weight of the coin. 90% of the coin is silver, but it's not a full quarter of an ounce. As, you know, you say a quarter, you think a quarter, a dollar is an ounce, you think a quarter to be a quarter ounce, no, it's not. And I doubt that I'm. I doubt
really
that I'm.
It confusing.
Yes, it is.
Ratios really make it confusing. Yeah.
Yeah. But Melody's on the right track here, where she's explaining that it's 90% of the coin is silver, but the coin is not by weight a full quarter of an ounce. If it's a quarter, if it's a dime, it's not a full tenth of an ounce. All right, 90% of the dime is silver,
yeah.
But the dime itself is not a tenth of 1 ounce. It's less than a tenth of 1 ounce. Am I correct on that, Melody? Do you think I'm correct or not?
Yeah. I mean, it's getting too complicated, but it's very simple. And the more you try to figure it out, but 90% is a great way to buy quarters, dimes, and 50 cent pieces. It does take about $1.40 to equal an ounce of silver. So. And usually it's all workable down
face value.
$1.40 face value. That's correct.
Yes. Okay.
$1.40 face value. That's kind of a rule of thumb that makes it easy.
Yeah.
And if you do the $1.40 face value and you multiply it in that combination, you're actually would be probably, I would think it works out to 90%.
So what we'd be talking about, in order to have an ounce of silver out of junk silver, we'd need 5 quarters, 1 dime, and almost 2 dimes. That's what it'd come down to.
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
All right. So you do think in terms of having 4 or 5 quarters, that'd be $1.25. Another dime would be $1.35. The nickel doesn't have silver in it to mention. So you put on a dime, another dime. 5 quarters and 2 dimes. Now you have an ounce of silver, a little bit more than an ounce of silver. Does that help, or is that just more confusing?
Oh, yeah.
This is new math. This was the original inspiration for new math. You understand that, Rob? It didn't matter if you got the right answer or not. It just matters if you have silver and you feel good about it. That was the whole thing.
Hey, ain't that the truth, Hey, thanks a lot, everybody. I really appreciate it, and listen to your shows faithfully.
Thank you, Rob. We'll talk to you another time.
Hey, guys.
Bye-bye.
What up, Melody? What's next?
I don't know. You even got me confused on that, Al. I mean, it ain't that.
Yeah, it is.
No, it isn't.
I guarantee you, if you ask 10 people.
Maybe because I just been 100... doing it for so long.
Yeah, it's easy for you, but for average person, it's confusing. It's 90%
That's silver. Why all they have to do is call Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. We'll explain it, Tom.
No, I won't. You will. You. Oh,
yeah, I know I will. You can't.
Well, anyway. I'm learning it. It's been confusing to me for years, and it's something that this is the first time I've thought I had. I get it. I might not be able to explain it, but I still have high level of self-esteem. You see, and that's what's important with the new math. What's next, Melody?
You know, talking about new math, we're talking about fiat currencies. The one big name that comes into play in modern times is really Alan Greenspan.
Of course.
And, you know, he understands gold. His essay that he wrote back in the 60s was he understood that inflation is the silent thief. And the only way you can protect yourself is gold. Gold should be a monetary, system. And yet he sold his soul and decided to do everything opposite of what he believed in. And now there was an article published by Forbes about Alan Greenspan wanting to end the Fed.
That's exactly
so
right.
Times must be changing.
Well, Alan can afford.
He's getting old, and he's ready. Knows he's gonna. He's trying to change his ways. He's making peace.
Maybe so. Wiping his feet before he steps on the good Lord's welcome mat. You know, want to get the mud off your boots before you face up to the Maker. Any case, interesting article published by Forbes entitled "If Alan Greenspan Wants to End the Fed, Times Must Be Changing." According to Forbes, Greenspan was recently quoted as saying, "We have at this particular stage a fiat money, which is essentially money printed by a government, and it's usually a central bank which is authorized to do so. Some mechanism has got to be in place that restricts the amount of money which is produced, either a gold standard or a currency board, because unless you do all that, unless you do that, all of history suggests that inflation will take hold with very deleterious effects on the economic activity." Now, Greenspan is saying somebody's got to control the amount of money that's being printed on fiat money, fiat currency, actually, that's being printed on our presses. And he sees two ways. One, you can have a gold standard, or two, you can have a currency board. What would the currency board consist of, Melody?
Well, it would consist of gold.
No, it would not. The currency board would consist of people of the same sort that we have on the Federal Reserve right now.
No,
and
it
the
wouldn't.
Europeans, sure would.
No.
But you have a gold standard.
I'm thinking more of a I'm thinking of more of a currency basket.
No, he says currency board. Currency board. And he means we'd have some people. That's what it means to me, at least. I don't know what.
Well, I would think that it would be a currency, because you can't have a individual gold standard. You'd have a basket of currencies.
No, like, he's saying either the
like
gold
we have
standard
now,
or
but
a currency
gold
board.
In there.
Gold standard or a currency board, and all
what
I'm
we
trying
have
to get
now.
Across.
That's all we have now. Al, is a currency.
No, no,
board.
We don't have the gold standard.
No, we have
what
a currency
we do
board.
What we have is the currency board,
yeah.
And it's got to be a failure. It's going to be a failure every time, because you put people in positions of power where they can decide how much money gets doled out, and inevitably they cave. There are too many temptations for any currency board to be trusted with ultimately managing your gold system or your monetary system. You use gold because there's only so much of it. It's natural. Its supply is. It's not something that you can just fabricate in your mind like a legal fiction. And from my perspective, he's saying we got to have a gold standard. And he goes on and he says, There are numbers of us, myself included, who strongly believe that we did very well in the 1870 to 1914 period with an international gold standard. And the point here is the former chairman of the Federal Reserve, the maestro, the man who was credited with being so brilliant and so intelligent that he put us into where we're almost on the edge of an economic collapse. And we've got Obama wants to blame Bush. He says, "Well, Bush is the one who messed up the economy." Listen, if we want to point a finger at who maybe messed up the economy, there's a bunch of candidates. But one of them is Alan Greenspan. He abandoned his original thinking in terms of gold. He could see it clearly in the 60s. He abandoned it to assume the rule, the reins of the Federal Reserve. And now that he's dismounted from that tiger, he is coming back and saying we have to have a gold standard. Now, we can wonder whether Alan Greenspan is simply, who is even older than I am, so we can wonder, is he hitting on all eight cylinders or not? But if we're going to assume that Mr. Greenspan is still intellectually vital, then we have to say this is evidence that the world is moving back to that gold standard. And it may be 5 years or more before that happens. But not necessarily. Could happen. But it's very unpredictable how quickly this could happen, how long it might be dragged out. Can't say, but we're going back there. Virtual certainty we're going back. Alan Greenspan would not dare to have advocated that we return to a gold standard unless he's been picked as a poster boy for the New World Order or the banking community or whatever, and they're saying it's time to start to break this news to the public. Time to go back to a gold standard. Not today, not tomorrow, but in the near foreseeable future. And not just because it's a choice, but because it is an inevitability. These paper currencies never, never last. And the dollar's demise can be seen. We can't tell you when it's going to go, but it's going to go. You understand? It's past its prime. It's approaching the day when we're going to nail it in the box and plant it in the ground. And what's going to be there in its stead? And the answer is almost certainly a gold standard. And the reason that's important, a couple of reasons. One, it tells you that it's important and even necessary to get out there and buy some gold. All right? If Greenspan and the central banks and major governments are purchasing gold, they are not completely out of their minds. They have an idea of what's going on. They agree with the kinds of information we present on this program. That's one reason. The second reason is if we're going back to a gold standard and the governments and the central banks are trying to purchase all the gold they can right now at low prices, what do you suppose is going to happen to the price of gold when we have a gold standard? It is impossible, irrational, too fantastic to believe that the price of gold is going to go down. If we ever go back to a gold standard, it isn't going to be $20 an ounce or $35 an ounce, but God only knows what it might be an ounce. It could be $10,000 an ounce, or some people predict it to be $25,000 an ounce. Who knows? No one does, but the price has to go up. And if it does, those of you that are holding on to even a couple of those coins could all of a sudden find yourself having surprising return on your investment if you will go out and buy some gold now. What do we got? 20 seconds, Melody?
They can give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. And you know what? I believe it was even Greenspan. What I was told in the past when he was head of the Fed that the traditional diversification is not going to protect you from these adjustments, from these economic adjustments.
Exactly right.
And I even had some broker calling me today selling out some poor ladies 4 bags of silver. It's like, you got to be crazy to be selling your gold and silver at this stage of the game. This you acquire at this game, and they can call us at 800-375-4188. 5 of the 1/10 ounce gold eagle coins, $40, $40 face value of the 90% silver, $1,850 includes all your shipping costs. Give us a call, folks.
All right, folks, we're leaving. We'll be back mañana. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.